Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Just one short passage of Scripture, and I hope to be a help with you today. I hope God will use me to encourage you and to help you as you try to walk with the Lord. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Lord, we come to you today asking for your help as we look at your word. Show us those things we need to know. Help us, God, to walk with you and talk with you as we have sung earlier. Make us the Christians you'd have us to be. If someone here is lost, I pray that you'd convict them and draw them by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, may you, Jesus Christ, be raised up and edified this day. Thank you again for our mothers. Thank you for every mother that's here today. I pray, God, you'd bless every family. Be with the Cleghorns. Bless them. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. You know, there's a pill for everything today. But God here mentions a medication that doesn't come in a tablet form. There's an attitude mentioned here. There's an attitude that's put forth, and it's an attitude that works, the Bible says, like a medicine. It works like a medicine. The word Mary, notice in our scripture, a merry heart. The word Mary carries the meaning of a rejoicing heart. Rejoicing heart. And this is not talking about a superficial or a surface kind of rejoicing, but something that's real. Something that's deep. A lot of folks seem to be merry, but it's only to cover the turmoil and the sadness or the hurt that lies beneath the surface. In other words, there's a lot of people that seem to be jovial on the outside or merry on the outside, but really they're hurting. But the true merry heart does good like a medicine. This merry heart comes from the joy that a Christian has in knowing God. This merry heart speaks of true joy, biblical joy, Christ-like joy. And it's not this merry heart is not a facade. It's not fake. It's true. But even though it's true, even though Christians should have a merry heart, and even though Christians should have joy, I have to tell you today, it has to be cultivated. In other words, you're going to have to work on it. You're going to have to work on it. The mind has to be directed. The mind has to be directed toward the right things. The mind has to be turned away or directed away from hurtful things or evil things or things that would hinder us. Even as born-again believers, our mind is still a fallen mind. Y'all agree with that? Nod your head. Even though we're saved, our mind has a carnal nature built in there, doesn't it? It's a fallen mind. And the devil can still attack our thought life. The devil can still attack our thought life. Most of you know, I talk about C.H. Spurgeon a lot. Most of you know who he was. He was a great preacher and evangelist and administrator. He had a college. He had an orphanage. He did a lot of things in the 1800s. And people oftentimes think of C.H. Spurgeon as being a great man, and he was. But most people don't know that C.H. Spurgeon struggled greatly with depression. He struggled with depression. Of course, in those days, they didn't call it depression. They called it being melancholy or something like that. But he made a few comments I'd like to read to you with this battle, concerning this battle. He said, some are touched with melancholy from their birth. Well, I think that's true. Some of us are just naturally melancholy. One guy said, you're melancholy. And the guy said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you got a head like a melon and a face like a collie. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But, you know, there's some people, you remember that little character on Winnie the Pooh, what was his name, Eeyore? He was always down. He was always kind of depressed. There's some people by nature that way, aren't they? There's some people kind of negative. Well, I have to admit to you, I've got a little bit of that in me. I'm kind of a negative person. And there's some people always look on the bright side, you know. Thank God for them because they balance me out a little bit. But there's some people always look on the bright side. Spurgeon was saying there's some people seem to be born that way. And I think that's true. He also said this, the troubled man experiences a good deal, not because he's a Christian, but because he is a man, a sickly man, a man inclined to melancholy. In other words, this is a common malady. There's a lot of people struggle with this. There's a lot of things can bring on. There's a lot of things can bring on melancholy or depression. Sickness can bring that on. Going through difficult times can bring it on. Death can bring it on in a family. There's a lot of things can bring this attitude on. Spurgeon said this, the mind can descend far lower than the body, for there are bottomless pits. That sounds like the words of a man who was struggling, doesn't it? The mind can descend far lower than the body, for there are bottomless pits. All of us, you know, don't ever think, I hope you're not thinking this morning, well, I'll never get depressed. I wouldn't think that. You might. You might. It seems that even the best Christians can struggle with melancholy or depression. And that doesn't mean that there's not spiritual help for us. I think there is spiritual help for us. Many times I believe we could direct our thought life away from those things that cause us to sink down and we could change the outcome. I think it's fair to say that we often have a tendency to wallow in self-pity. You know, I've had a couple pity parties and nobody showed up. You ever notice that? You can have a pity party, but nobody really, people don't want to go to the pity party, do they? So the Bible tells us here, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I want to say, number one, the value of a merry heart. There's value in having a merry heart, isn't there? The value of a merry heart. Number one, it can impact your physical health. The way you look at things, the way you think about things can affect your physical health. There's a lot of folks who are very sick, but they've got a better attitude than some people who are totally well. That attitude helps them. That attitude keeps them going. That attitude can affect your physical health. If you focus on the negative all the time, you're going to have physical problems. Not just mental problems, you're going to have physical problems. If you've got things in your life like bitterness and strife and anger and malice, and you just keep all that bottled up, and you focus on that all the time, you're going to end up eating a hole in your belly. You're going to have some physical, not just mental or emotional problems, it's going to make its way out physically. You're going to have some serious issues. So a merry heart can impact your health. The value of a merry heart. A merry heart can affect our daily walk. You know, nobody likes to be around somebody that's a sourpuss all the time. Is that right? You're not attracted to somebody who's always down. Our daily walk should reflect our salvation. Our daily walk should reflect our relationship with God. Our daily walk should draw people, not repel them. Right? So a merry heart can affect your daily walk. It can affect your family life. It can affect your co-workers. It can affect your siblings. Your daily walk. A merry heart. God help us to have a merry heart. It does good like a medicine to have a merry heart. It can affect others around us. You know, I've told you this story before, but it's kind of funny. But I would come in. I don't do this much anymore. I've kind of learned to do better. But I used to come home from work and I'd be in a real bad mood. And I'd stay in a bad mood till I got Evelyn in a bad mood, and then I'd get in a good mood. But you know what? My bad mood affected her. Your bad mood affects other people, doesn't it? A merry heart helps other people. If you've got a merry heart, it rubs off on people, doesn't it? A smile, you know, a smile is kind of contagious. So a merry heart, there's good value in a merry heart, isn't there? It does good like a medicine. Secondly, a lot of this, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the seat of our affections. In other words, it's talking about our mind, isn't it? The importance of our thought life. The importance of our thought life. Our thought life can affect our spiritual health. Our thought life can affect our spiritual health. Now, let's just say, for example, somebody did me wrong. And I spend every waking minute thinking about how they did me wrong. You know, the only person that's probably suffering over that would be me. And if I let it go, not only will I be thinking they did me wrong, I'll start thinking about what I can do to get back at them. And that's even more dangerous, isn't it? The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." It's not my job to get back at people. I'm just trying to tell you, your thought life can affect your attitude. It can affect your spiritual health. You can be consumed with bad thoughts. And I'm not talking about immoral thoughts. I'm talking about things like revenge and anger and bitterness. You have to be careful about that. The battle is in the mind, isn't it? The Christian battle, a lot of it takes place right in the mind. That's where the battle is. So our thoughts can become like a runaway train. And they can take you places you don't want to go. You have to be careful. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but is there anybody here that you've lived your entire life and nobody's ever done you wrong? I believe everybody here could probably say you've been wronged a time or two. But don't let that rule your life. Don't let that determine your heart. You have a merry heart. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, the world's solution is take a pill. Take a pill. And no doubt there are people that need medication. I'm not saying that's not the case. But I'm just telling you, for everybody, that's not the answer. I think a lot of people are taking a pill when they ought to run to God. I think there's a lot of people, I think as a Christian, our first response should not be take a pill. I think we ought to consider that God can help us. God can help us in these issues. God has a prescription to help us, and He wants us to have a merry heart. A merry heart. People often, my dad's going to Columbus now. I took Evelyn to the medical college in Richmond, Virginia, and I take her to Cleveland now. People travel great distances to get medical help, don't they? But I can tell you right now, you can get help right here. You can get help right here in God's Word. You can get help. Our help could not be closer. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, He lives in you. You can't get any closer than that. I don't have to travel to Cleveland or Columbus or Pittsburgh. God, the Holy Spirit, indwells me. I'm just trying to tell you today, we have help available to help us have a merry heart. Then thirdly, we have to direct our thought life. We have to direct our thought life. I just want to read some scriptures to you. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to renew our mind. You know what happens to water if it stays stagnant? If it doesn't move, it becomes filled with vermin and germs and bacteria, harmful things. Our life, if we don't renew it, if we don't bring fresh things into it from the Word of God and from the preaching and teaching of the Bible, if we don't renew our mind, it's going to become stagnant and it's going to become harmful. We need to renew our mind. We need to direct our thoughts. Our prayer should be as the psalmist, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Create in me a new heart, a clean heart. We need to direct our thought life. We need to direct our thought life. I remember a friend of mine said one time, an older gentleman, he said, "If I watched CNN every day all day," he said, "I'd be depressed too." You know, that's true. You watch that, and I'm not telling you what to do. It's your house. You watch what you want to, as long as it ain't immoral. But what I'm saying is this. If you sit there and watch that news all day long, you'll get depressed. I mean, if you focus on all the negative in the world every day, all day, you're gonna be affected by that. You need to direct your thoughts. I have to just take it in doses. I can take about 10 minutes in the morning just to make sure that, you know, we're not in a nuclear war or something, and then I go on to work. I don't saturate myself with that junk. I don't saturate myself with all that stuff. I've got a buddy, he's a radio announcer in Huntington, and he talks about that stuff for 3 hours every day. I told him, I said, "I don't know how you do it." I said, "I'd get so depressed talking about this junk all day. That would discourage me to death." I mean, you know, it is a swamp. Politics is a swamp. And I don't want to talk about it and think about that all the time. We need to direct our thoughts and think on things that edify us rather than that are negative. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In order for us to have a merry heart, we're going to have to put on the new man. We're going to have to put on the new man. We're going to have to take off the old man. We're going to have to try to be Christ-like. "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." God's design is that we have peace in our heart. Did you know that? Did you know, saved person, did you know, Christian, this morning, that God's design is for you to have peace? Jesus Christ came. He's the Prince of what? Peace. He came to give us peace. The world can't give you peace. I mean, they've been crying peace since I was a little kid, you know, back in the hippies, peace. They didn't know peace. We still don't have any peace. The Bible says peace, peace, when there is no peace. But Jesus Christ can give you an inside peace, can't he? He can give you an inside peace. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't. Probably don't. But God does. And he doesn't want us to be afraid, does he? You know how many times the Bible says, fear not? Fear not. God doesn't want us to have a fearful heart. He wants us to have a peaceful heart. God wants us to have joy in our heart. God wants us to have a merry heart. A merry heart. Then, number four, God has a prescription for a merry heart. There's a way you can have a merry heart. Number one, you can, like I said, you can direct your thoughts. Instead of thinking of the negative all the time, you can think of the positive. Now, Evelyn mentioned this morning, a lot of times she doesn't feel like coming to church on Sunday. And I listed about five people that come to this church, and I guarantee you that a lot of you don't feel like coming to church. You're physically don't feel like it. You don't feel like it. But you're here today. You're here today. I say that to say this. That helps you spiritually have a merry heart. That focuses your attention off the negative. The negative is you don't feel good. The negative is your whatever your malady is, whatever that is, that's the negative. If you focus on that, you'll get down. But if you'll come to the house of God and the best you can and study and pray and direct your thoughts toward the blessings you have. Hey, I know some of you are suffering. I know some of you have bad health problems. But I know, I personally know a boy who's a teenager with cancer. You've lived most of your life, most of you, and had a good life. You didn't fight cancer when you were 15. I'm just trying to tell you, you can look around and find somebody worse off than you are. You can look around and find somebody who's not doing as well as you are. My mom lived to 60. Some of y'all passed that. That's a blessing. Is it not? Held that grandbaby yesterday, Roger. Wasn't that a blessing? Isn't that something to count your blessings? Count your blessings. I'm just trying to tell you, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Take your mind off the negative and look at the positive. Take your mind off the troubles you're having and look at what God's blessed you with. The ability just to come to walk in the house of God this morning, that's a blessing. The ability to have little children, that's a blessing. The ability to have a spouse, that's a blessing. We're blessed people, folks. Now, the devil would like to, you know, have you down in the molly grubs. Whatever that is. I've heard it my whole life. I ain't sure what it is. But the devil would like to have you down in the molly grubs. But you know what? We're a blessed people. Tim Cliffs has got more cars than the used car lot. I mean, we're blessed people. Right? God's been good to us. We need to count our blessings, don't we? Y'all, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad. I'm trying to tell you, we could all focus on the negative. We've all got problems, all right? Some of us more than others. But hasn't God been good to us? Shouldn't we praise Him? Shouldn't we have a merry heart? How about salvation? Don't that ought, if that don't crank your truck, you need an overhaul. I mean, salvation in Jesus Christ, isn't that a blessing? We've got a lot to be thankful for, folks. We ought to have a merry heart. Something else. Look at others. Don't just always look at yourself. Look at others. I'm sure you won't have to look far till you see somebody in worse shape than you are. I'm sure you won't have to look far till you see somebody that could use your help. Serve others. You've heard the old saying, joy, Jesus, others, and you. Serve others. See what you can do to help somebody else. I appreciate Steve. I know Steve don't feel well. And he come over here and worked at the church. I'm sure, and he hadn't told me this, and I don't want to embarrass him, but I'm sure that helps take his mind off of the other things. And not only is he doing that, he's helping the cause of Christ. We need to not get so self-absorbed, don't we? It's easy to do, isn't it? Because guess what? By nature, we're selfish people. But if you want a prescription for having a merry heart, you're going to have to serve others. You're going to have to do for others, give to others, help others. Let me just say this in closing. I want to remind you today that God is with you. If you're saved, God is with you and He's for you. That ought to give you a merry heart. God is with you and He's for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Isn't that what the Bible says? If God is for us, who can be against us? Doesn't that rejoice your heart to know that God's for you? I'd rather have God on my side than anybody. I'd rather have God on my side than the greatest army in the world. I'd rather have God on my side than the most powerful potentate or the most powerful king or president. I'd rather have God on my side than any of that. That ought to give us a merry heart, shouldn't it? It ought to make us happy. The Bible says we are to cast our cares on Him. We are to cast our cares. Christians ought to be different than everybody else. We ought to have a merry heart, shouldn't we? Let me just have you look, and we're getting ready to quit because I want to let you out soon. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Just in case you didn't get it the first time, he repeats it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Notice this. The Lord is at hand. That means He's near. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Notice that. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. He gives us some things to think about. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you understand what the apostle's trying to tell us here? He's writing this from a jail cell, by the way. He probably had a lot he could have fussed about. But notice how he directed his mind and how he wants us, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how he tells us we need to direct our mind. We need to direct our mind. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christian, you can do it. You can have a merry heart. You can live the Christian life with victory in your soul, can't you? God, He gives us the prescription, doesn't He? Count your blessings, number one. Count your blessings. God's been good to us, hasn't He? I mean, we've got it made, folks. I could just talk about this the rest of the afternoon. I ain't going to do it. But we've got it made. I mean, I get up in the morning, I push a button, and put in this little cup, and coffee comes out, and I drink it and eat a little Debbie cake, and everything's right in the world. Right? We've got it made. God has blessed us as a nation. God has blessed us as people. And we need to not focus on the negative, but think about the blessings God's given us. Have a merry heart. It does good like a medicine. It does good like a medicine. Your kids need to see that in you. Your grandkids need to see that in you. Your great-grandkids need to see that in you. We need to have a merry heart, don't we? We need to have a merry heart. It's contagious, isn't it? It's contagious. Thank you for being here this morning. Please stand with me.